Most of us have grown woefully familiar with the Christmas story. In fact, for many, reciting the details has become a rote experience. Three wise men following a star, a young couple finding refuge in a primitive hovel. But today, we'll imagine what it must have been like to experience the historic birth of Jesus in real time. Glad you've joined us for another edition of Insight for Living, as Chuck Swindoll guides us on a tour through Luke chapter 2 with fresh eyes. And just before we hear his message, Chuck leads us in prayer.
We pause this day, our Father, the significant day we recognize your Son's birth. And we're grateful that it was a plan that you had put together from eternity past. And as the days were accomplished and just at the right time, according to your plan, that baby was born and was watched over by two who loved him dearly and reared him well. Thank you for the difference he makes, not just in coming to this earth, but when he comes into our lives to fill the empty spaces, to provide light in the midst of our darkness and hope beyond our sinful nature. Thank you for the preservation of his sinless life through the virgin birth of Mary. In this profound plan, you have put together an arrangement that keeps him sinless and provides for us the spotless Lamb who would take away the sins of the world. And we cannot think of Bethlehem without also remembering Calvary. How grateful we are for the mission that he accomplished. Unlike us who come to live, he came to die, and having died, he rescued us from our complete difficulty and inability to rescue ourselves. And thank you, Father, for all that Jesus Christ means, especially on this day when we remember his birth. We pray for nursing staffs today who minister in hospitals, for those who are on the police force that watch over our safety. Protect them and encourage them. How grateful we are for each one. Thank you for those who declare the good news today around the world, some in difficult, rugged places, others in sophisticated places. But in each, your word is being declared, and we pray that it will go forth with power and effectiveness. We commit to you this time of worship that we have before us. Now, just as you gave to us, we give now to you, and we do so full and overflowing with gratitude as we let the wonder in and release to you our offerings. In the name of Jesus, who came that we might live and have life more abundant, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download the Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now let's conclude our study in Luke chapter 2 called God Sends His Son.
When you read the story in Luke 2, the first person he names isn't Mary or Joseph. It isn't an angel or one of the shepherds. Interesting, it isn't even Jesus. It's Augustus, which wasn't even his name. It was the name they gave him. His name, Gaius Octavius, born in Italy, 63 BC. He was, in fact, related to Julius, who was the Caesar. Julius was his great uncle on his mother's side. Julius got picked off in 44 BC, and to the amazement, after that assassination, when the will was read, Gaius Octavius was the only one recognized in the will as being the sole heir to the inheritance. So at age 19, Gaius Octavius became emperor of the Romans. So a decree went out that everyone in the Roman Empire should register in the city of their ancestral family's origin. Joseph, related to the line of David, explains why Joseph was required to go to Bethlehem. He didn't have to take Mary. Women didn't register, only men. But she was heavy with child, very close to delivery. And I'm sure in their conversation together, there was a determination that she would go along, as uncomfortable as it was. All of that background material for what appears in Our Lips Move when we read it, there went out a decree in the days of Caesar Augustus that the whole world would be taxed. By the way, a word about Mary and Joseph. Both were pulled between wanting to be obedient to God's plan and yet forced to obey Caesar's demanding decree. We're never told in detail that their going to Bethlehem did not surprise them or did surprise them, except for the fact that he was to register at his place of ancestral origin. I want to think that they realized that this was very clearly the way God was lining all the facts together that had been set forth in the scriptures. For Micah the prophet had said, "From Bethlehem a ruler will be born." In the darkness, Mary delivered her son. A more lowly or humble birth, it is impossible to imagine. It was the unpretentious entrance, if you will, the stage entrance of the Son of Man, the Son of God. God, very God in human guise and form upon earth's stage. In the dim darkness of the stable, a new sound was heard, the infant cry of a newborn baby. At every turn, he was seen as an illegitimate. Never received the respect. John puts it well, though succinctly, he came unto his own things, but his own ones did not welcome him. You remember the crass line from one of the gatherings with the Pharisees as they were arguing with him. And they said to him, as he referred to his father, they said with a snide remark, "We know who our father is," implying, "You have no idea who your father was." Some Roman soldier? All of this caused me to turn to the marvelous statement made by Paul in 2 Corinthians 9. Once again, some of the great things are often said briefly to make them stick, if you will. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift," period, end of chapter. Wait. That verse is packed with meaning. First of all, it's written 60 years after Jesus' birth at Bethlehem. And he's now pondering in a fleeting moment the one God gave. And he sets forth a truth that a hurried eye would miss. He begins with words of thanks, as we all do when we think of the Savior. How often we begin our prayers with thank you. Our breakfast prayer began this morning with thank you. And yours probably did too. Thanks be to God, writes the apostle, for diagaomai is the word translated indescribable. This is the word that refers to the inability, the impossibility of putting something into words. Thanks be to God for the gift. So special, so significant, I can't even find the words to put them on the page. That's Paul's statement here. He is God's indescribable gift. From a past of pristine perfection and spotless purity, which existed throughout eternity past, he arrived on this planet in an animal enclosure with sheep grazing nearby. God, our Heavenly Father, gave him to us, preserving his sinlessness. Before I'm through, I have to give you God's options. He had four of them. Four options in bringing his son to this earth regarding his nature as being sinless. First, Jesus could have been conceived from a human mother and father. The problem there is that he would have inherited our sin nature. So that wasn't an option God could use. Second, Jesus could have miraculously been deposited on Mary's doorstep, sent from heaven as a newborn babe, created by God. The problem there is he would not have been truly human. No valid member of the human race, because he would not have been born. No human genealogy, if you will. Third option, Jesus could have taken possession of some other human being alive on earth at that time, sent from heaven and incarnating another individual. The problem there, obviously, is he would not have had his own body. Furthermore, he would have possessed the sinful nature of the one he inhabited. Only one option remained, and that was to bring him through the womb of a virgin. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the virgin birth is not all that significant. It is the point of preserving his sinless condition. This awesome Son of God, sealed in perfection from his conception, wrapped in love, provided by God's grace for all of us to come to know and to trust. Now then, back to things a little more practical, and I conclude with these words. Ever wondered why God has us return to this very familiar story from Luke 2, 1 to 14 every year? Ever wonder about that? If you're like me, you've heard it since you were a little child. You could probably tell it without missing most of the details because of familiarity, just as you could quote that ballad that I began with. Then why do we return again and again, year after year, to the same story? I came up with a thought that I'd never had before. I believe it is God's hearing test for all of us. That test is given to all who will listen closely, and God never screams it. When Christmas arrives, remember, it's often at a very quiet time. He comes in a silent night, on a holy night to us. He comes to whisper his message in our ears. And would you believe, when I got that thought, I came across the writings of Mary Ann Byrd, whom I'd never read before. She wrote a piece called The Whisper Test. Listen to this. I quote. Mary Ann Byrd writes, "I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. When I started school, my classmates made it clear to me that how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When they asked me what happened, I'd tell them that I had fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born like this. I was convinced no one could ever love me. There was, however, a second grade teacher that we all adored. Her name was Mrs. Leonard. She was short and happy and round, a sparkling lady. Annually, she gave all of us a hearing test. She gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally, it was my turn. I knew from past years that as I stood near the door and covered one ear, the teacher would stay seated at her desk and would whisper something. We'd have to repeat it back to her to test our hearing. Like, the sky is blue. Or, do you have on new shoes? But when my turn came, I waited there for her words, which God must have put on her heart and into her mouth. I love this. There are seven words that have changed my life. Mrs. Leonard whispered, "I wish you were my little girl." When I read that, I thought, every Christmas, God whispers that to you who are not his child. I wish you were my little boy. I wish you were my little girl. I gave you my son. I sent him for you. And now that Christmas has come, I again give you the same test. Are you listening? I want you to be mine. I want to adopt you into my family. I want you to be my little girl, my little boy. Bow your head with me, will you please? Just sit quietly there. Those are words of love. And oh, how he loves you and me. He says them every year, at every Christmas. But you must listen and believe him and receive him. Jesus has come to give us life abundant. And Christmas is the perfect time for you to begin that journey of an abundant life. Right where you're sitting, just a simple prayer. Lord, I am hearing you. And for the first time, I believe you. I trust your Son as my Savior and my Master. I take him now. It's easy for all of us to think that everyone at Christmas time is rejoicing, is happy, is free of care, looks forward to the days of quietness, solitude. Not really. If your world is dark and you've never known the reassurance of life eternal is no doubt in my mind why you find yourself depressed. But you need to hear the words of your Lord. I want you to be mine. I want to adopt you. I want to show you a love you've never known before. Take me as your own. I'll change your life. Dear Father, we pause to thank you for the love story that comes to our attention every year. As familiar as it could possibly be, and yet how easy for us to walk past it and miss what you were saying to us. Since so many things shout at us, demanding our attention. But you quietly give us this test, making certain that your words are clear. You wait for us to hear you and believe you. For those of us who know your Son, we thank you for the Mrs. Leonards in our lives who faithfully told us of a life beyond our own and a love deeper than we'd ever known before. For many of us, it was faithful parents. For some, it was a friend at school. For others, it was another family member or someone we've met along the way. Thank you for each one. We've set apart this day as a very special time of remembering and giving you thanks for making us a part of your family. With great gratitude, we express to you our praise, our adoration, because of Jesus, who came that we might live abundantly, we pray in his name. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living, and a special holiday message from Chuck Swindoll titled, God Sends His Son. If you missed any portion, or you'd like to listen again, you can download the audio file at insightworld.org. Please stay with us. Chuck is in the studio with an important reminder for us. First, though, let me call to your attention that this coming Sunday is the deadline for sending your special year-end donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. We're trusting God to stir in the hearts of people just like you to do their part in supplying Insight for Living with the needed resources. Please allow God to guide you in the amount you should give. I can assure you that the need is enormous, and your support is urgently needed. But we're confident that many listeners pulling together will allow us to cross the finish line with all that's required. Here's how to send your donation. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Chuck, in some ways, the very first Christmas was only the beginning. Jesus' birth was a precursor for things to come.
That's right, Dave. The Christmas story is really the Easter story. Everything about Bethlehem, the fulfillment of ancient prophecies, the miracle of God in flesh, the arrival of Israel's Messiah points to Calvary. The story of his birth culminates with his death, burial, and resurrection. The manger and the cross go hand in hand. This is the amazing story we tell every day at Insight for Living Ministries. As we conclude today's program, let me remind you that time is running short for you to give your special year-end donation. The deadline is December 31. Please take a few moments and respond today. Your gift allows us to share the Christmas and the Easter story far and wide. I'll not say anything more today, but I'm waiting with anticipation to hear from you. In the meantime, it's fitting to repeat Paul's words to the Philippians. He wrote these words in Philippians 2, verses 7 through 11. When Jesus appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. From the Swindoll home to yours, we wish you a warm and Christ-centered Christmas.
All right, thank you, Chuck. And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. During the month of December, we were pleased to send the popular Christmas concert DVD to anyone who gave a donation. If you've never had the privilege of worshiping at Stonebriar Community Church, where Chuck serves as the senior pastor, this DVD will give you a virtual front row seat. The concert is performed by the church's full choir and orchestra. You'll undoubtedly reach for this DVD for many Christmas seasons to come. When you give, ask for the concert called Let Earth Receive Her King. Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. Join us tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll poses the sobering question, what if you were to die tonight? That's on the next edition of Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Sends His Son, was copyrighted in 2016 and 2017, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.